All right, once again, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. We go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Samuel chapter 18. Now, going through these series of messages here, we've gotten to David, and we're going to be parked on David for a while. He's probably the main character of 1 Samuel. Everything kind of points to him. And so he kind of becomes the main character, and everything's around him and his life and what he's doing. And when we got on David, first we talked about the anointing of David, and we preached about what God saw in David that made him a man after his own heart. And we preached about the characteristics that he had. And then we preached on the exalting of David. And by exalting of David, we meant we wasn't talking about the coronation. We wasn't talking about him becoming king and getting the crown. We were preaching on the fact that to be exalted, you have to go through some things. And he wanted to exalt him, first of all, in the sight of the people. And so he had to face some giants there and things that he had to do. And to where the people would believe that he was could have been the king. So he put him through some things, and anybody here that's on this earth as Christians, and we're wanting to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ and get a crown at the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord's going to put us through some things, and we have to wait on God. We have to do what God wants us to do. We have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then tonight, what I want to preach about tonight, and when I say preach, I'm talking about not doctrinally. There's a lot of things that doctrinally we could preach about through the book of 1 Samuel and get through all that stuff, but we're trying to go through it practically and how we can apply it to our own lives. And tonight is going to be something that shouldn't be foreign to any of us at all, and some, you know, either both sides of it. And when I say both sides, you got two people in this story here. You're going to have David and you're going to have Saul. And I just want to look at it tonight. I don't think it's a far stretch at all to say that David would typify a spiritual Christian, a spiritual-minded Christian. And we should all be having that desire to want to serve the Lord and wanting to do something for God and wanting to live a life of surrender and whatever it may be, whether it's on a mission field or whether it's right here in our own town here, doing something for Jesus Christ, our own church, finding out how we can sacrifice for Him and do something for Him. I think that should be the desire of every Christian, especially a Spirit-filled Christian. But also Saul would represent a backslidden Christian, somebody that's just about the flesh and they're just about themselves, and they're never interested in doing anything or putting themselves out, and they're always messing up and making the wrong decisions. And he would typify somebody that's a Christian that would that's just living for the flesh, and they're walking in the flesh and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to start off in 1 Samuel chapter 18. What I want to preach about is the enemy of God, or the enemy of David, that is, the enemy of David. And we're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and look in verse 28. 1 Samuel 18, verse 28. The Bible says, "And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually." Let's go ahead and have another word of prayer. Father, we are, God, we are thankful, God, to be here tonight, God, and as your words opened up, God, and being able to listen to it, Lord, and realizing, God, that Lord, the world goes all over the place, God, looking for answers to this life and how we could be a better person here in this life and what we could do to get over our problems and to be able to deal with our problems and wondering why we have problems in our life or problems with people or whatever, God. And we have the bread of life, God. We have your word, God. And you've showed us, Lord, how to walk in the Spirit, which is the only way a person can have peace, Lord, on this earth. God, you've given it to us, Lord, and you've called people, Lord, preachers, God, to preach your word. There's Sunday school teachers that teach children, God, and try to show them the right way. And God, it's a blessing, God, to be able to open up a book, God, that we know, God, that if we would follow it God, we'd have less problems in this world, God, than we do now. And God, we at times, God, we try to do right, and we try to follow it. We try to walk in the Spirit, and we confess our sins, and we try to live just, Lord. But at times, God, we get backslidden, God, and we get away from you, Lord, and our Bible reading, Lord, slips, and our prayer life slips. And before we know it, God, we're in a bad way, and there's times, God, that we're just not looking for you. And so, God, tonight, Lord, as we listen to this message, God, I mean, Lord, it's both ways, and we could be in both stories, and we could be both people. And I pray tonight, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to see our shortcomings through Saul. And, Lord, help us, God, to be thankful, God, for David and the way, Lord, that times, Lord, that we may do the right thing, God, because of you and what you're doing in our life. But, God, through all of it, Lord, we pray tonight, God, that your word will be spoken. God, you'll give them what you want, Lord, and get me out of the way. And, Lord, help me, God, not to say anything of my own will, God, what I would like to get across, Lord, but what you want to get across. And I pray tonight, God, that you'd bless the message, bless your word, Lord. I pray, God, that the people listening tonight, God, that they'll receive something. God, you'll put your finger on something, God, in their heart, Lord, that they need. And I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, tonight, reprove us and rebuke us, exhort us, Lord. And God, give us something tonight, God, that you want us to have, Lord. I pray, God, if there's people going through some things tonight, God, you give them some comfort. God, I pray, Lord, if there's people, Lord, that's just getting out of their way, God, or they're just not as interested as they used to be, or their heart may start beginning to be cold. I pray, God, you'd give them something, God, to wake them up, Lord, and help us, God, as we listen to your word. Now, God, I do pray tonight, God, that you would use us, help us, God, to do what we're supposed to do, God, and we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, when I talk about the enemy of David, I'm talking about Saul. And the thing about David is David in this scenario right here, David looks to be clean, and David is clean through all this. As a matter of fact, look over in 1 Samuel chapter 20, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1, and look what David's reaction is right here. David says this, he says, chapter 20, verse 1, "And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, 'What have I done? What is mine iniquity, and what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?'" And you've probably been there. There's probably been times in your life where somebody got mad at you and you have absolutely no idea what it is. And you're trying to figure this thing out. And then the other side of this is that Saul's over there and Saul's mad at David for no reason. And if you think back, there may be some times in your life where you've been mad at somebody for no reason. And so both sides of the coin tonight, we can look at it and we can say, you know what, I've been there. But even as clean as David is right here, there came a time in David's life where he wasn't the David of this part. He was Saul. He was an enemy to somebody who done nothing to him. Uriah the Hittite was a great warrior. He was a great man. He was a great husband. And he was living the way he was supposed to live. And he'd put his life in David's hands. And because of sin in David's life, David didn't treat him that way. And because of the integrity of Uriah, David ended up deciding, what the only thing I can do is here is I can kill Uriah, which is what Saul was trying to do to David. And so even David, as clean as he was, he still ended up being the enemy of somebody, and for no reason. And so when you look at this, you can be both sides of the coin. But first of all, what we want to look at is we want to look at why? What happened? What was the problem? Why did Saul begin to not like David? And you can see that in 1 Samuel chapter 18. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit unto the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house." And so what's going on is Saul sees David kill Goliath. And Saul's impressed, and he's like, "Okay, we need to get this kid. We need to get him in here. He needs to be a captain or something. But we need to get him in the army here because he's a great warrior." And in verse 5, it says this, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him." He's just doing what the king told him to do. It says, "And he behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of the war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people." And that's what I was talking about last week. God made David to where he was exalted in front of the people so that one day they would receive him as the king. And so he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. "And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And so you can see the king and his army is coming back. And Saul's up in the front of that chariot there. And it's probably a sight to see there as he's up in his chariot and he's coming in. The armies are behind him and they've got another great victory there. And they went from where they were, you know, nobody in the whole country even had a sword but him and Jonathan, to where now they're going out and they're winning these battles. They got thousands of people that coming in there with them. They've got a big army. The Lord is really establishing Israel as a nation. And Saul's coming down through there and his chest is stuck out, boy, and he's just excited. He's got this, you know, this new young warrior here, and he's going out doing all the damage for him, and he's getting all the credit for it. And so he's all excited, and that's what he's all about. He's all about the credit. And it's funny, they got this new game on these little phones. It's called Trivia Crack. And I seen my kids playing it the other day. I was like, what is this? And they said, well, you pick this person in. You got this four or five games going on. It's a trivia game. And so while we're sitting there going on, you know, the kids are sitting here and they're saying, Dad, what's this right here? Dad, who was the first NFL team? Blah, blah, blah. That's all they ask me, sports questions. Who was da-da-da-da-da? So I'm going through there and I'm like, oh, this. Miami Dolphins, you know, whatever. I'm giving them all these answers. Like, ah, yeah. They win and they're all excited, you know. And then they get over to the other game and the other person beats them. And they say, oh. You know what? I bet they're cheating. I bet they got somebody there helping them with the answers. And I'm saying, and that's Saul. Saul's sitting there. Saul wants the glory for winning these battles, but he wasn't the one that's doing the fighting. And he ain't even thinking about that. Saul's coming in here. He's coming through here, and he's got this big parade going, and you know, the band is striking. Na 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 na. That's all that stuff's going on. And the women's coming out there and they're all singing and dancing. And they begin to sing. And it says this in verse 7. It says, and the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And when he says that right there, Saul takes notice. Because Saul wants the glory. Saul wants all the glory when it comes to people praising and giving him the honor and giving him the glory. And as soon as David begins to get the glory and the praise that he deserves for what he done, Saul's jealous. And verse 8 it says, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And so Saul's sitting here, and he's looking at this situation right here. And from that moment right there, Saul changes his whole attitude toward David. And he becomes his enemy. And it's all because of jealousy and enviousness. And, you know what it's like. I mean, you've been there before. you've been there on David's side. You know, you've done some stuff there that you've done right, and you've worked hard, and you've got what you deserve. And people begin to brag on you, and other people get mad. And then, if you really think deep down, or at least I know I do, there's been times where other people's got something, and I got offended, thinking I wanted that. And we can all sit in both of those scenarios. And so we're going to talk about being the enemy of David. I mean, you ever. Bragged on somebody and didn't even know what was going on, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of a mess. I mean, you know, you might be watching something and you just brag on somebody, and you know, I mean, it could be anything. I remember one time I said something about some cheerleaders, and I was trying to be nice because I have absolutely no idea what cheerleaders do. I mean, I see them get out there. I don't know how hard of work they do. I don't know. You know, I think they got a hard job when a team's losing. I mean, get out there and try to keep a good face, you know, and try to get people to be excited, you know. It'd be terrible. You're sitting there getting beat 64 to nothing, or you're getting beat by 20 points in a basketball game, and they're all out there, you know, go Scott, go Scott. They're like, all right, shut up. We're getting beat by 20 points. You know, I know they got a heart. And I sat there one day, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to brag on some of them cheerleaders there. And I was talking to this lady, and I just mentioned one of the cheerleaders. I said, now, so-and-so, she's a good cheerleader, ain't she? I said, she keeps a good smile on her face. I mean, I don't even know what to brag on them about. She's smiling, that's good, and she does that real good. You know, I don't have no idea what they're doing. And that lady looked at me and she said, well, she's not all that. And I realized, I bragged on the wrong person. If I was going to be nice, I should have bragged on this one right here. And all of a sudden, I realized I'm right in the middle of that thing. And that's what happens. These women are out there, and they're bragging on David and Saul gets mad about it. And it can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody. You just end up in a mess right there. And before you know it, you know, you're either in a mess or you're the one that's mad because you're not getting the glory and honor. And it can happen in anything. It can happen in schoolwork. It can happen in singing. It can happen in preaching. It can happen in missionaries. I'm sure missionaries, I mean, you get there, you're at a missionaries meeting, somebody gets up bragging about one missionary and where they're going and what they're doing, and they take a big offering for them, and another missionary gets up and they're like, well, good job, brother. All right, we're going to go on. I mean, it'd be hard. I mean, you're sitting there and you've put as much work in as anybody else, you know. And it's singing, it's preaching. Preachers are jealous of each other. I'm telling you, man, you hear preachers are just as bad as anybody else. They'll preach, you know, or somebody will come up and talk about a preacher. And yeah. I said the same thing last week, remember? You're sleeping. And it's real easy to sit there and get offended. You know, people bragging on somebody else. It's all of us. I mean, it's just easy. And the problem is that here's the difference between David and Saul. When the man of God got in front of David, and David had been backslid, it was the time when kings go out to battle, and he wasn't going, he was staying at home, he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing, and he'd got away from God, and the preacher went to David, and he said, gives him that little parable there about the sheep, and he says, "Thou art the man," and David dropped his head because he knew he was. And immediately, David got right. Now, Saul, on the other hand, Jonathan talks to him and explains to him, "Dad, David's not done anything to you, and you're mad at him." And it kind of works for a little bit, but that jealousy is just too much. And he won't ever get right over it. He won't ever say he's sorry. He won't ever say, you know, I'm wrong or whatever. And that's the difference with David and Saul. Saul was a man that he got jealous and he got envious and the flesh got the best of him. But after that, his pride got the best of him. And he just could not bring himself to get right over it. And it destroyed him. And one way, I'm going to show you some ways tonight about an enemy of God and things that they do, the characteristics of them. And that way you'll be able to see it in your own life, be able to fix yourself if it ever begins to happen. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 18 there, he starts off and he says, in verse 8 he says, "And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?" And when he says that right there, I mean, Samuel had told him already, you know, there's going to be another king and all that stuff. But it never dawned on Saul that he was going to be the king, that David was the one that he'd picked. He figures that thing out later on, but at this point right now, he's just reacting out of jealousy. I mean, he's mad. He's just aggravated. And what he does is he says, "And David, you know, what can he have more but the kingdom?" You know, and that's just somebody, you say, that's somebody that gets mad, and they begin to exaggerate the truth. And somebody that's in that position right there, when they get mad at somebody for no reason, they begin to exaggerate the truth. And right there in 1 Samuel chapter 18, you see him exaggerating the truth. And then look over in 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19. Now, since he's raised his hand toward David, and he's the enemy of David, you know, he's fighting David. But now, if David was the enemy of Saul, then he'd be fighting Saul. And David don't fight Saul. David never fights back. David looks at the whole situation, trying to find out what he did wrong. He says, "I ain't doing nothing to him." So he's really not the enemy of Saul. But look what he says in verse 17. It says, "And Saul said unto Michal, Why hast thou deceived me so?" Because she hides David and gets him out of the window before they can get over there and kill him. He says, "Why hast thou deceived me so and sent away mine enemy that he has escaped?" David wasn't his enemy. He was David's enemy. And he begins to exaggerate the truth. And that's how we do. I mean, the pride that gets in us when a situation happens, you know, a dispute or an argument or something comes up, and we begin to try to get mad over it, and then we get faced with who's right or who's wrong. We begin to exaggerate the truth, and we try to work it out because of our pride. I'll give you an example. Let's say a man and a woman, let's say they're getting ready to go to Knoxville. And, you know, Saturday morning, they're getting everything ready to go. They're excited going over there, just going to spend a day in Knoxville, just run around, whatever, have a good day, eat, supper over there, and just have a nice time together on the weekend there, get away from everything. And they take off over toward the interstate. As they go over through the interstate there, there's a car. It's in front of them. It's going real slow. And so they're just cruising down through there, talking, whatever. He decides to pass the car. He gets around the car, and as he gets around that car, the other car speeds up because he's mad because he's passing him because he's going slow. Go figure. I don't know why people do that, but they get mad when you decide to pass them. And so his car speeds up. So then he speeds up a little bit, and things begin to get tense, you know, and they're looking at each other, you know, and aggravated. Things are getting tense. And he's running out of room to pass, so he pulls back behind him. Well, he gets right up on his bumper. And so, you know, that guy starts tapping his brakes. I don't know if y'all ever seen anything like this or not, but I'm just making this up. So let's say they're going down the road, and he's tapping his brakes, and he's trying to keep from hitting him, but he's wanting to let him know, you know, I don't appreciate what's going on. Well, the wife's sitting over there, and she's thinking, good night, we're going to have a wreck. This is crazy. And so she tries in the heat of the moment there, because she ain't been married very long. A woman that's been married 20 years knows, just shut up. Just be quiet. This ain't going to turn out good. Just grab a hold, hold your head down, and just pray. So this young woman, she decides, you know, she's like, hey, you know, why don't you just back off a little bit and just let him go on, you know, and it's going to be a big problem. And he gets offended because he's mad. So he looks at her and he says, well, I didn't do nothing wrong. Are you saying this is my fault? So now it's my fault because we're having this big deal going on. She never said that at all. She just wants him to slow down so they don't wreck and kill each other. And he takes that because he's offended because she even said anything, and that pride kicks in. He begins to exaggerate the truth. So now they get in an argument. And the next thing you know, they're turning around on the road, and they're heading back to home. And they stay mad at each other all day, and he is convinced in his mind that it's her fault. You say, why? Because she accused him of being his fault. You say, does that ever happen? I ain't going to let any women say anything. And you say, what happens? What happens is pride gets in us. And we begin to exaggerate the truth to put it into our best interest to make it sound good. I mean, and you got, you know, children do the same things. You take children and, you know, they'll, a parent will say, hey, we're going to take you out to so-and-so Friday night. And kids are like, okay, good. And so they're all excited all week. Something comes up and they got to work late. And the kid's mad because he don't get to go. And he says, you lied to me. The first thing that ought to happen is, is they should get a whipping for running their mouth like that. But even in that situation there, they didn't lie. When somebody says something like that and makes a statement like that, it's understood that what a person is doing when they say something like that, they're saying, look, we'll do this unless something else comes up. Now, you know, sometimes parents take advantage of it and just say, you know, I just don't feel like going, so I ain't going. And that's still their prerogative. But you take a kid like that, you say, why are they acting like that? Because they're mad. They're selfish because they ain't getting what they're wanting. So what do? They begin to exaggerate the truth, and they act like somebody lied to them when they didn't lie to them. Sometimes people exaggerate arguments and stuff just to and get somebody else mad at somebody. You know, let's say I take a situation with a kid again. Kid comes home. Say a teacher's on them all day. Look, quit talking. You need to do this. You need to do this. Oh, okay. All right, I'll quit talking. So they quit talking, you know, they're doing their homework. Next thing you know, they're talking to somebody else, and they've been a disturbance all day long. And the next thing you know, teacher finally gets mad, says, okay, you're going to be in detention hall, or you're going to do whatever. That kid goes home, and he says, so-and-so just don't like me. What do you mean? Oh, they're always picking on me. She, he, whatever, they're always saying, you need to be quiet, or you need to get, and everybody else is talking too, the exact same, everybody else is talking. And I'm just the one that they always pick on. And before you know it, that parent's getting mad. Why? Because that child is lying. They're exaggerating the truth. Yeah, they get on them all the time. It's because they're talking all the time or they got a problem. You know, then the next teacher they get has a problem. You know, it's like all these teachers have problems with this person. And they can't ever figure out the common denominator is the same child every time. And it's always a teacher's fault because the kid goes home and says, look, blah, blah, blah. You say, what is that? That's somebody that's exaggerating the truth. And when somebody becomes an enemy to somebody, that's what they begin to do. They begin to exaggerate the truth. They'll blow things up and they'll point out, they'll overemphasize somebody's faults. When somebody's like somebody, they'll overemphasize their good points. Somebody that's mad at somebody, they'll begin to overemphasize everything that's wrong with them. And they'll get on them like that. So that's exaggerating the truth. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. When David takes off, he ends up there with Abimelech over the and with the priest there, Ahimelech, and David goes in there and says, "You got anything to eat?" He gives him some bread. He gives him the sword of Goliath, and sends him on his way. When Saul finds out about it, he's mad. You go over to 1 Samuel. I said 20. Go to 22. 1 Samuel 22. First Samuel 22, verse 12, it says, so Saul goes over there to see Ahimelech, and he says, and Saul said, "Hear now, thou son of Ahitub." And he answered, "Here I am, my lord." And Saul said unto him, "Why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day?" He's accusing Ahimelech of conspiring with David to overthrow the kingdom. He didn't do that. So what's he doing? He's exaggerating the truth. He's going in there and he's mad at him because he didn't stop him, even though he didn't even know to stop him. And he goes out of his way to say he's a king's son-in-law. He was needing something. He's a great man of God. He's a great fighter. He's trying to do right. I just figured he was with you. He was doing what you told him to do. And then he says down there in, look at verse 15, "Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant." He's accused me of anything is what he's saying. And it says, "Nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more." And the king said, "Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house." And he kills him. He's exaggerating the truth. Now look over at 1 Samuel chapter 23. He gets so bad to where he's so beside himself and he's so convinced himself the fact that David has done him wrong and is trying to overthrow the kingdom, and he's lied to himself, he's exaggerated the truth, till he gets to the point to listen to this right here. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 7. And the Bible says, "And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand." What an idiot. I mean, you're looking at this guy who's demon-possessed. David has done absolutely nothing wrong to him, and he's killed the priest. He tried to kill his son. He's been against everybody, and he's been exaggerating the truth. He's lying. He's convinced himself that somebody's against him when they're not. And he's acting that way because of his pride. And it said, and he ends up saying that God's on his side by the end of this thing. That's how far gone he was. And when you got somebody like the enemy of David there, and they become an enemy, one of the characteristics is they begin to exaggerate the truth. They don't tell things the right way. And then the second thing is this. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19. Look at verse 1. It says, "And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David." You know what they do? Somebody that's mad at somebody, first thing that happens is, as they begin to try to turn everybody else against them, try to get their story out. Well, let me tell you what happened. And then they begin to exaggerate the truth, and they try to say it one way when it really wasn't that way, and they're trying to get people mad at them. And they exaggerate the truth, and they lie. They get things the wrong way, and they begin to say, "This is the way, this is what they did to me," when that really wasn't what they did. You know, I mean, you could hear Saul saying, David trying to take over the kingdom. He even got Ahimelech. You know, Ahimelech's teamed up with him over there, and I had to kill Ahimelech because he was conspiring with David to overthrow the kingdom. And they begin to tell people things like that, and they begin to try to turn other people against them. Look at 1 Samuel. He tried to turn Jonathan against him. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 20. And what he tries to use with Jonathan is the fact that Jonathan was going to become king next, and he tries to do that. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 20, let's start in verse 29. And he's talking to Saul because David's not there. And Saul's asking Jonathan where he's at. In verse 29 he says, "And he said, let me go, I pray thee." This is Jonathan saying, this is what David told me. "And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table." Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. "And he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now, send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." He's trying to turn Jonathan against David. You say, why? Because he's mad. He's wanting David killed. He sees that Jonathan's on his side. So the first thing he's doing is he tries to use the flesh. He tries to use something that Jonathan may have been expecting in his life, or wanting in his life, or desiring in his life. And he's trying to use that to get Jonathan to turn against David. And the problem is, in that situation there, Jonathan's got more character than Saul does. Jonathan already decided who was going to be the next king because he could see it. And so what happens is he sits there and he tries to turn Jonathan against him. Look at 1 Samuel. Go back over to 1 Samuel 22. And he begins to talk to these other guys, and look at verse 22:6. It says, "When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse?" You say, what is he saying? What he's saying is, he's saying, I know what's going on with all you guys. He's bribed all you all to turn against me. And so what he's trying to do is drive a wedge between them and David, trying to put them in a situation where they have to say, hey, he's not bribed us, king. We're on your side. And so what he's doing, he's sitting there, he's trying to turn people against him. And what happens is when you got some people in this world, when they get mad at somebody, they want everybody mad at them. And when they look at somebody, it gets to the point where, you know how it goes, somebody gets mad at somebody. I mean, and they really get mad at them. I mean, just the sight of them just makes that person mad. I mean, they'll be sitting there looking at somebody, and they see them, and they'll say things like, oh, golly, just the sight of them makes me sick. God, watch how they're acting. Watch them. And they'll sit there and they'll have those thoughts about them. And they'll think that way about people. And if you've ever had those thoughts, you're wrong. That's not the way that you're supposed to react. And what happens is Saul sitting there and he sees all that stuff going on. So what he's trying to do is accuse these guys of a certain thing. So when he puts them in that situation, they have to turn on Saul's side and say, no. We're not being bribed. We're on your side, king. And so what they do is they try to get them like that. And the problem is, this person that's like that, their point of friendship with anybody from that point on is everybody that's a friend of this person, I'm a friend with. And if they don't like this person, or if they're a friend of this person, then I'm against them. If they don't like this person, then I'm their friend. That person becomes the point of the issue, the point of fellowship. The point of friendship is all based on what their opinion is of that same person. And they may go out there and say something about them, and if that person turns around and says something good, they get mad at them, just like Jonathan. Jonathan said, Dad, what's he done to you? And he tries to take a javelin and stick him against a wall because he was on David's side, just because he said something good. He just trying to talk sense into him. And see, a person like that, when they get filled with pride and they get mad and they're frustrated and they're aggravated, they're not ready to listen to any kind of counsel. They're not ready to listen to anything that's right. And they'll sit there and somebody tries to talk to them and they'll get mad at that person. From then on, they're mad at that person. And if somebody comes up and says, yeah, I know how you are. I've been around that guy. That is the way he is. And he begins to talk about him. All of a sudden, guess what? They got a point of fellowship. And they're going to sit there and talk about the same person. Look over at 1 Samuel 23. David's out. He's gone. And when he's gone out there, he's looking. He's sending everybody out. Look at verse 19. The Bible says, "Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." And look what Saul says. And Saul said, "Blessed be ye the Lord, for ye have compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is, and who has seen him there. For it is told me that he dealeth very subtly." And you got those guys that come in and say, "We're on your side, Saul." And Saul's, "Oh, God bless you. You're a real friend to me. You really understand how things are, but now you better watch him. He's subtle. Watch how he does." And you take a person like that right there, and that's the way they act. Somebody does them wrong, something's going on, or somebody supposedly does somebody wrong that they think they did, or they're just jealous, or they're envious, or they're proud, then what happens is that person gets mad. And when that person gets mad, what begins to happen is they begin to look at other people. And they begin to look at that person. And it's just bitterness and hatred and just spewing venom at somebody for no reason. And that person don't have a clue what's going on. And the only thing that can help a person like that is to get right. That's what helped David. David said, "You know what? I've sinned. This thing's just got the best of me. I thought I had it all covered. I thought everything was going on. What was wrong with me?" And David gets down there and he gets right over the whole situation. But most people don't. Most people don't. What they do is they'll carry that thing with them. And they'll keep it, hoard it up, and you'll see people get mad at each other, and they'll stay mad for years. And what happens is they become consumed with other people. And right there in 1 Samuel chapter 23:19, you can see people's looking for him. 1 Samuel chapter 24, people are looking for David. You know why? Because Saul's looking for David. He's got everybody and their brother. That's all he's worried about. When somebody is jealous of somebody else, or they're envious of somebody else, you know who they're consumed with? They're consumed with that person. As was so-and-so there? Or what was they dressed like? What'd they say about it? When so-and-so said that, what'd they say about it? Well, they said something. No, I mean the exact words. What did they say? No. Well, did they mention me? Did they say something about me? That's what? Well, no, they didn't say. Well, that's just because you just don't know them. See, you just don't know. You just don't know how they are. Well, I don't even think they're talking about you. Oh, you like them, do you? And that's the way those things go. Y'all are laughing because you've had that conversation. And you've been there or you've done that conversation or you heard somebody else. Now, I've heard that conversation before. Coming out of my own mouth. What exactly did they say? Well, how did they say it? Were they laughing? I bet they weren't even laughing, were they? And then take what they said and go twist around and say, "Yeah, they was talking about me at that party the other day." Who was? Yeah, them. What'd they say? They said, "Da-da-da-da. I was there." They didn't say that about you. That's what I was told. They said it about you, and it's just like that right there. And there you absolutely can't get any peace or any comfort, and it's all about, you know, it's... Did you see her Facebook the other day? Yeah. Yeah. You see what she's wearing? Yeah. Ain't that crazy? Yeah. I gave it a thumbs up, but you know what I really think? Yeah, me too. As a matter of fact, I gave it 2 thumbs up so she wouldn't know. Yeah. And she makes me sick. Don't she? Oh, yeah. She's so full of herself. Yeah. And it's that kind of stuff right there. And, oh, did you hear what so-and-so said? And, oh, they're on my Snapchat stuff, whatever it's called. I don't even know what it is. I'll try to get stuff. What is it? Knox Catholic, they're in a ball game. I let them, it's raining, so I let them off at the door. So I drive to the car. That's how bad I am. I drive to the car. Beth left her cell phone in the car. So Sarah's calling her phone. So I'll get it and bring it into the game with me. So the phone starts ringing. There's a little green phone there, and there's a red thing, circle. So I push the green thing. I say, "Hello," and it rings again. I say, "Hello." I say, "Crap." I set it down, trying to do something, and it goes off again. It says, "Sarah Elizabeth." So Sarah's calling. So I pick it up, and I'm hitting that green button 15 times. Finally, it rung about 5 times. I never did answer it because I didn't know how to answer the phone. I don't even know how to answer a phone. I walk in there and said, "You've got to slide it." I said, "Well, why didn't it have it? Why does it got a green button on there? Everything else got to push the green button." So I mean, you get on that Snap stuff and all that stuff, and you know what happens? It's people that are mad and are aggravated, and they're just aggravated at somebody. They're talking about somebody else, or they take their pictures and send it to somebody else and talk about what they're doing. And you know what I'm talking about? I get down there in junior church and I start talking about these things with these kids down there. Boy, you ought to watch them blush. And kids are honest. I like junior church. Kids are honest. I'll sit down there and I'll say, "Guys, you know what I'm talking about? Y'all ever been that mad at another girl just because because you think she's prettier than you? Not anybody else. You think she's prettier than you. You've been mad at her? those girls will go. Yes, Brother Jack. I said, well, all you got to do is get to be 25 or 30 and you'll never have another problem with it. Because if you ask them, they go, no, I've never thought that. Men's the same way. There's things that you look at. And nobody's ever even done anything to us. You know, it could be our kids. You know, we get mad at somebody else's children because somebody bragged on those children and they done something that they deserve to be bragged on, but we wanted our kids bragged on. And we do that stuff. You say, what is it? It's just being an enemy. It's just being full of jealousy and being full of pride and not taking care of that. And the Bible says that God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And a person that really wants to be close to God and really wants to stay in fellowship with the Lord, they see those things that begin to happen in their life and they realize, you know what? I need to get right with this. I need to get right with this. I need to make sure that when I see these things going on in my own life, I don't let this stuff escalate. And I don't let this stuff get out of my mind and begin to use my mouth with these things. And I don't begin to talk to my wife or my kids don't begin to hear some things that I'm saying about somebody to where now they don't like that person. And that person can't ever be a help to them or whatever. And we begin to defile a lot of people because we let it get out. And what we got to do is we got to get down and we got to do like David did. When God comes down, He puts His finger on her heart. He says, listen, that's you right there. And the only way you're going to fix this and the only way I'm going to be able to ever bless anything you're doing in your life is you got to get that stuff out of your life. God can't bless us when we're in a situation to where we are harboring sin in our life because we're mad or because we're aggravated or just because we just don't want to get right. We don't want to say we're sorry, whatever it is. And you've got Saul right there who goes in that thing, and it's obvious he's all about praise and glory from people. And he wants all the praise. He wants everything. He wants all the attention. You know, and if you'd ask Saul, oh, I ain't worried about none of that stuff. That stuff don't bother me. But you can tell that's his problem. All the way through there, all he's talking about is David being the king. David's going to take over my kingdom. That's not what he's mad about. What he's mad about is because he's bragging on David about his 10,000s and Saul just his 1,000s. Saul wanted attention. That's what he wanted. And what happens is, no matter if you're 8 years old or you're 88 years old, you're never going to get away from this flesh, and it's always going to be on you. And there's always a temptation to get in those things and those issues and those problems, and you got to catch yourself. And when you're on the internet and you see people like that right there, you just got to realize, I just got to back off. They ain't done anything to me. What did they do to me, really? Just sit down and be honest and say, now what did they really do? Nothing. And that's what Jonathan kept trying to say. Dad, David's not done anything to you. David didn't want to be king. You know what David wanted to be? He wanted to be a son-in-law. He said, I can't be the son-in-law. Look at me. I'm this right here. I'm the lowest of the low. And they said, well, he don't want a dowry. You get 100 of the Philistines' foreskins, he said, and that'll be good. And David said, all right, I can do that. And it said that he'd done it because it pleased him to be the son-in-law of the king. He wouldn't want to be the king. But boy, he sure thought he did. And when he got threatened, it was on. And he was going to take him out no matter what if it tore the whole kingdom up and his whole family up. He did it. And people harbor those feelings and they get aggravated at people and they do those things. And it puts them at odds with God, and God's against them. And the practical teaching out of this thing right here is that you can be David and you can be Saul. But when you end up being Saul, you need to be David when David acted like Saul, and you need to get right. And that was the difference between David and Saul. David was willing to eat crow when he had to. All right, let's all stand.